Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some french fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine.
Canada, huh? Almost made it.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You smell something, Rabbit?
Fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey.
Very excited for this show tonight, folks, as we have
a guest coming back that we haven't talked to in a number of years. She was last on the program back in 2016, where we were talking a little bit about the start of the program. Really, we owe her an hour's worth of time, at least, to talk about the success of this program, because it's exploded in popularity and certainly is going to be, if not is, one of the best hockey programs out on the East Coast at this point. So The Hockey Show is always happy when we get a former guest to come back to the show. Tonight we're lucky that not only can we welcome back this guest, but get caught up on everything that she's doing, and something that started as an idea turned into a reality and legitimately is thriving under her watch. She was last on the program back on March 17th, 2016, where we first met her. She was a standout minor hockey player, learning her craft among the boys before joining a powerhouse Connecticut Polar Bears team, where she won a national championship. That led her to Boston College, where she had an outstanding collegiate career, and she now works for the New York Islanders after coming home to Long Island. It's here on Long Island where she's making a huge impact in girls hockey by running the New York Islanders Girls Elite Hockey Program. We're going to get caught up on all the progress that she's made tonight, because she's definitely doing some amazing things. So let's welcome her back. Let's welcome back Miss Alexis Mode to The Hockey Show. Alexis, how's everything going? How's everything out in your world?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Trevor.
Oh, like I said, super excited to get caught up on this, because like I said, I mean, I've been doing some reading and you guys are just crushing it out there on the East Coast. So let's get into this. Let's have a little bit of fun here. You were last on the show in the spring of 2016, as I said, off the sort of start there. You had just laid down the groundwork for the New York Islanders Girls Elite Hockey Program. Things were just sort of getting off the ground. Let's do a little recap over the last couple of years. Explain why you started this program and why you decided to sort of stick your neck out a little bit and try and do this, and how the Islanders got involved and how everything sort of came together for you. So let's start with a bit of a recap.
Well, like you mentioned, I started the program 6 years ago, and really it came out of necessity. When I grew up on the island, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for girls, which is why I was playing with the boys. And then I ended up moving to play travel hockey in Connecticut for the Polar Bears for greater opportunity and just greater resources in terms of college recruiting, college exposure. And when I came back from BC, I had expected that there had been progress made on the island, because there was progress being made all over the country in girls hockey. And I really didn't see any. In fact, I saw one organization that had sort of fit into a system of doing the same thing over and over again, and really modeling their program after the standard boys model that was out there for travel hockey. And I just didn't really feel that it was working. And I didn't feel that the girls were progressing the way every other program throughout the country was progressing. And so it took a long time to start the New York Islander program. And I think, you know, there's been many renditions of it prior to the 2016-2017 season debut. Started off with some camps and some clinics and some spring teams and so forth. And it really came down to not having the right support, not having the right partnership. And when I first got home from school, I was working in advertising and then ended up transitioning into hockey full time. And that's where I landed at the time it was called Twin Rinks. Now it's the Northwell Health Ice Center. Right. And it's the official practice facility of the New York Islanders. And with the Islanders coming into the facility, that really was that final piece of the puzzle that I needed, and that strong partnership to realize this goal that I had for the girls. And that was the official start of the Islander girls program. And originally we had started with just two teams. They were two very small teams. In fact, our 12U team only had 10 players on it the first year, and our 14U team only had about 15 players on it the first year. And through the support of the Islanders and all the resources we have at Northwell, here we are now 6 years later, and we have a developmental program. We have two 12U teams, two 14U teams, a 16U team, and a 19U team headed into this upcoming season.
I mean, that's, like I said, the growth is incredible. You had mentioned in the spring when we talked to you in 2016, though, you were noticing that a lot of, you know, 14U, 16U girls were either dropping out or leaving Long Island to find other places to play. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed, you can certainly talk to how much growth, but have you noticed that has stopped or has at least been reduced in terms of the number of girls that are going elsewhere to play now? Is that something that's been accomplished?
I think so. I mean, the fact that we have two teams at 12U and two at 14U for the upcoming season, I definitely attribute that to the fact that players now have this opportunity and an organization that, you know, provides the resources and they believe in what we do and they stand by our philosophy. And so, yes, I think the draw off of the island has been reduced. And what we started to see last season and even the season before is that typically when girls from Long Island were going to Connecticut or New Jersey or leaving for prep school, we were actually now getting players from New Jersey organizations. And we were getting players that lived in New Jersey, lived in Manhattan, that were now traveling in the other direction to stay in our program rather than what was actually more convenient for them, which would have been to head down into Jersey. So
yeah.
I definitely think, you know, the Islander program has created an environment that is appealing to these girls, and they no longer feel that need to leave. And I also think it's also slowed down the migration to prep school. A lot of times prep school was seen as the avenue for college exposure. And through our, you know, few graduating classes that we've had and the college commits that we've gotten and the interest that we've gotten back from college coaches, I think that the players are now seeing that they don't necessarily, at least for the hockey portion, they don't necessarily need to go to prep school to get college exposure, that that's something they can get right here on the island. And they can stay in their school and they can stay with their family. And the financial burden that it often accompanies prep school tuition, that piece, is gone now. It's just not necessary because we will get them into colleges and we will get them in front of the right coaches.
I mean, obviously, there's a ton of excellent reasons. I mean, you listed off, you know, an arm length worth of great things that have happened and certainly a ton of reasons why, you know, the New York Islanders girls elite hockey program was started. Knowing this program has been running now for successfully for 5 to 6 years, you know, 6 years total. What's the growth been like, though, in terms of the number of players? Because you said you started out with two teams. Where are you at now in terms of total players, in terms of age groups, in terms of just the number of teams that you have?
Well, we're up over 100 girls in the program right now.
Oh, wow.
And they span a developmental program, which is really our 10U clinic-based program. We call it a bridge program. It's essentially the introduction. What we were finding is there are a lot of girls that get into hockey and you know, initially they're in a co-ed program, whether it be a house league or a hockey 101 clinic, or they've gotten, interest in the sport through a Try Hockey for Free event or something to that effect, either run by the Islanders themselves or sponsored by USA Hockey. And then they have to then transition into playing house league or something until they're ready to play travel hockey. And that's oftentimes where girls get discouraged because 10-year-old girls are out there at a different pace than the 10-year-old boys. And sometimes at that age, they don't mix very well together.
Right, yeah.
So we've created this developmental program, which is a bridge between whatever introductory program they've come from into our travel program. And then we move into the two 12U teams, the two 14s, a 16U and a 19U. So in total, we are going to be over 100 girls for this upcoming season. We've already had our tryouts, so we know that our numbers are solid.
I mean, that growth is incredible. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know if, you know, when we first talked, I mean, if you saw yourself having 100 players under your watch, but I mean, obviously it takes a lot there to handle 100, you know, 100 players and a pile of different teams. If you want, I mean, I know you got a ton of good people helping you as well, Alexis. Do you want to name some names and give some credit to the people who coach teams and lend a hand?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if we didn't have the coaching staff this would have never happened. And the fact that our coaches were so strong and so committed through these last 6 years, I have to attribute a lot of the growth to their dedication. Certainly nobody is making a full-time living off of this. They all have other jobs. And so the time commitment is just tremendous on their part. So at 19U for the upcoming season, we have Patrick Fung as one of the head coaches. He and I are going to do the team together. And he actually was the Penn State women's coach in the past. And he was named coach of the year when he was at Penn State.
Oh, wow.
Assisting Pat, we have Kristen Sandberg. She's been with us for a couple of years now at the 19U level. And she has an interesting background. She was actually a professional softball player who also was very talented in hockey. So she does a great job bringing that professional athlete mentality to that 19U team. At 16U, we have Jim Bosenberg as the head coach. I'm going to be assisting Jim for the upcoming season. And Jim has been with us since day one. He actually started off as our goalie coach and was so inspired by what we were doing that he committed to being a coach for the last couple of years, a full-time coach with the teams. And at one of the 14U teams, we have Jim's son, Nick Bosenberg. Mm-hmm. He played for Siena College, and assisting him is Denise Cardillo. And Denise, she also played college, and then she played a year in the NWHL for the Connecticut Whale.
Okay.
The second 14U team is Katie Marsman. She also played in college for Potsdam, and we have a new coach from Idaho that's assisting her for this upcoming season. It's Tia Tasava, and she played at SUNY Canton. On the 12U teams, we have Amanda Geisel, who's been with us since day one, and assisting her is Olivia Blazak, who actually graduated from our program as a 19U player and came back to coach. And on the second 14U team, we have Alex West. He's been with the rink for a long time. He's done a lot of spring programs and clinics. And assisting him, we have a player actually that I coached when she was 12 and has come back after playing for Morrisville. And we have Megan Kirk in that position. So Megan, even though she never came through our program, she was a player that was actually in what I would call those precursor programs that I did, those clinics and spring teams. And when she graduated from Morrisville fairly recently, she reached out and said, I understand you have this program and I'd like to come back and coach.
I mean, I got to ask, because there's a couple other people as well. Carl Rappa, is he still with you? Is he still working with
you? Yes, Carl, when Jim, as the program grew, and obviously more and more goalies were added, Carl Rappa is our goalie coach. He was a student of Jim's. So when Jim moved to taking the team full time, we brought in Carl to handle the goalies. And we also have our team of trainers now. We're using the gym at the rink, which is Institute 3E.
Yeah.
Led by John DeFlorio. And so the girls are now involved in their training program, and each team gets a program tailored specifically to their skill set, where they are in terms of their strength and their agility. And, you know, John with his team of coaches are constantly altering that program to suit the player's needs.
That's fantastic. And Jim, I guess Jim Wingus, is he the sort of the, you know, all the mental preparation here? Have you got to deal with all talking to the girls and getting them ready?
Jim was with us last season.
Oh, okay.
For this upcoming season, we have a new sports psychologist coming in. The sports psychology program was something that was introduced last season, and we had brought it in prior to COVID, and it was really tailored for game performance, mental prep. And then when the pandemic hit, the program was altered really to stress management, managing the anxiety that the players and the coaches and even the parents obviously were going through. We were not able to play games. The restrictions in New York were quite heavy, to say the least. And so it was about keeping the players, you know, emotionally comfortable through everything and handling the changes that were being thrown at us, and also trying to keep them engaged and keep their compete level up when they weren't allowed to have games. So for this upcoming season, we're going to continue with the program. We hope that we'll be back to normal. All indication is that we will, and we hope that we're going to be playing full seasons at every level. And so we're bringing in Dr. Stephen Freerman. He's actually a professor at Hofstra University, and he's going to be working with the players on their mental performance for the upcoming season.
I mean, like I said, you can't do it without some really good people helping you. And I mean, there's a whole list of people that are in there. I mean, congratulations to everybody, obviously, for the success you guys are having. I mean, everybody's got a little piece in that. So one of the things I want to ask about is that when we talked to you last, you were pretty quick to credit a couple of former coaches in helping you sort of learn the craft and get everything going. Do you call on Dan Bedard or Ron Winicki anymore to come out and do maybe a few guest sessions for you?
Well, Ron Winicki keeps me on the ice. He's my physical therapist. So I've visited Ron quite a bit over the last 6 years.
Okay.
So he keeps me going physically with the girls. He's still local and, you know, we have players now that they're coming up with minor things here and there as expected. And I always send them to Ron because he really is the best around and he had such a strong playing career himself. I know that he fully understands everything that goes into playing and training. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he is just the best physical therapist on the island. And unfortunately, his business is right down the street from the rink, so it's convenient. Dan Bedard, unfortunately, moved off island recently, but he is definitely someone that I still talk to all the time. And,
okay.
You know, he's great for advice and, you know, Dan's always good for a history lesson. Things get stressful with the organization and he's always there to remind me what it was like when I started and the lack of opportunity that I had and how all of the effort and everything that we're going through now is really creating an environment for the girls that I didn't have. And that was the original mission behind this program. It still is the cornerstone of the philosophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have Dan there point out the progress that's been made on the island is, you know, it's invaluable. It keeps us grounded and it keeps us motivated to keep going with the program.
You just mentioned a little bit about, you know, sort of the environment. And I mean, obviously hockey program needs a place to play. So, I mean, you said you got a lot, you know, you're getting support from the Islanders and certainly Northwell Health Ice Center as well in terms of the rinks where you guys play. What, I mean, again, you don't have to go into specifics here, but I mean, just in terms of having that support, I mean, you know, you said the Islanders were providing ice time and support within the ice center for the girls at the time back in 2016. They mentioned that they were willing to help financially if the need came to be, but it seems like your business model never really needed that financial help, which is obviously a testament to how well you're running the program. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. What support are you getting from the Islanders? What support are you getting from Northwell Health Ice Center in terms of making this easier to run the program with their support?
Well, I think the main thing is resources. I mean, the Northwell Health Ice Center is an incredible rink. And so having that as our home rink certainly makes the program even more appealing to players. And you know, the fact that we have the gym there and the rink is always able to provide ice time. And they've really given me, along with the support of the Islanders, they've given me free rein to run the program as I see it should be run. And, you know, like you said, we are not financially dependent on the Islanders or on the rink, which I think is the best model. But certainly when it comes to any sort of marketing support or co-branding with Islander Learn to Play programs, resources in helping get coaches or guest appearances, the Islanders and Northwell have always been very supportive in that way. And right. And I think collectively we're both looking to provide even more opportunity and we're getting even more creative now because now that the program is so strong and it's grown and you know it's a resource back and forth. We have a nice symbiotic relationship where the Islanders will host an event and then I can provide players and I can provide coaches for that event. And then in turn, the Islanders are using their incredible brand name and all of their resources to bring more younger girls into the facility and then feed that pipeline up into our program.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, the Islanders have a great following, obviously, you know, finding some success and certainly rebuilding that program has been huge on the island. And I mean, the Coliseum is just a madhouse every time there's a game there. So it's great to see sort of the Islanders, you know, lending that support to you guys as well as, you know, maybe getting a little bit back from you guys as well. There have been changes, though, in the Islanders organization since 2016 from the top down. Garth Snow was GM at the time. He's since been replaced by Lou Lamorello. Charles Wang was the owner. He's now sold the franchise to John Ledecky, Scott Malkin, and Dewey Shea. Have any of these changes affected the way that the program is running, the way that, you know, in any way has the program or support changed for what's going on at, you know, at the rink based upon the fact that there's been new ownership that's taken over?
No, I haven't noticed really any changes and the support, you know, through Garth Snow, he was instrumental in starting this program, the support that he lent us and the path that he set us off on certainly has proved to be a source of strength for the program in the last 6 years. With Lou taking over, it hasn't changed the Islanders' position or the Rink's position on the girls' program. They remain just as supportive now as they were then. And if anything, I think just us being able to piggyback on the success of the Islanders, that I think can in some way be attributed to some of the change that's occurred on their side. You know, piggybacking on that certainly has helped us. But many of the people that were in place in 2016 and affiliated with helping the girls program out remain in the same positions. And okay. So I would say directly, we have not seen any change with the developments on the Islander side. But we're excited with what's happening. Obviously, the success of the team certainly draws attention to all aspects of the Islanders organization, whether it be the practice facility, our in-house programs, the girls programs. So it's certainly helpful that they're doing well.
I mean, I don't want to try and, you know, sort of, you know, give an inch, take a mile sort of thing or whatever, but have you ever asked the Islanders, can they send over, you know, Barry Trotz for a few drills or maybe a Matt Barzell for a couple stick handling clinics? Like, does it work both ways there?
If anything, we've, you know, been able to bring in some players from the NWHL through the Islander connection. Yep. They've been running some learn to play programs specifically for girls. And, you know, then we seem to get the graduates from that program, and that feeds our developmental and into our 12U team. And that's a, you know, that's just an example of the Islander resources, that they're able to go out and get players from the NWHL and certainly help bring in sponsorship. The exposure that we get carrying that logo and carrying the Islander brand name is attractive to local businesses. And once we're able to get their attention by use of the Islander name and the logo, then they really start to learn about the girls program. And we've been able to secure some sponsorships from that, which has then in turn been handed out to the girls in forms of scholarships.
That's fantastic. I mean, again, congratulations on forging and certainly, you know, building those relationships. That's fantastic. You had said back in 2016, sort of in the interview, that your own hockey background was kind of fragmented in a lot of the training that you got, that, you know, you received pieces of information here and there, but never sort of in one collective spot. You know, in terms of growing up, you learned, you know, different stuff in different points of your life, nutrition, all that kind of stuff. Your curriculum at the New York Islanders Girls Elite Hockey Program features basically a complete curriculum, training on nutrition, academic and college advice, stress management, player evaluations, you know, the normal strength and conditioning that are seen in other programs. Obviously, there's been some thought that went into this. So when you look at, you know, what you've learned and what other programs are doing, how is your program different from other programs you've either coached at or attended as a player?
I would say that this program, I think, is a little bit more creative in its approach to building the organization. Certainly, off-ice training has now become standard throughout all youth programs. The college advising is starting to catch on, but it's not something that I see in every single program. I rarely see sports psychology implemented, which is why we wanted to be one of the first programs to do it. Right. And have a set curriculum amongst everything else we're doing. That portion of the program has their own curriculum, which then fits in as a subcategory to the overall curriculum of the organization. Nutrition, bringing the best in the business in to give lectures on nutrition and provide resource that way. Certainly during the pandemic, we were fortunate enough to bring somebody in to talk to the kids and the parents about what was going on and helping sort of separate fact from fiction in terms of what we were hearing and monitor you know, the infection rate in the area and dispel some concerns about hockey being a high-risk sport, as it was labeled in New York. Arguably, that was an improper notation. We made it through the season with really only two, fortunately, only two individuals that got sick, and it wasn't severe. So I think, you know, having all of these resources, which then again ties back to the affiliation with the Islanders and the facility that we're playing in, I think that's what sets us apart from these other organizations, is that creative approach and the college advising too. We still are working with Digit Murphy, who is now the head coach of Toronto Six and the NWHL.
Yeah.
You know, her name and her brand, I think, lends a lot of credence to what we're doing and helps attract college coaches, prep coaches as well.
I mean, you mentioned the sports psychology part, and you talked a little bit before about how, you know, the pandemic kind of ruined all of the seasons for a number of players, for all 100 players that were attending your camp, where it became more of a stress management portion of the curriculum rather than just a, you know, a high performance game day kind of sports psychology. I mean, obviously that part kind of took over, and the stress management part kind of took over, and you had to sort of, you know, figure out ways to make it work for all the different players. But how much importance was I mean, again, you probably heard some feedback. How much importance was it to the players and to the parents to hear, you know, that you guys were going to look after and maybe address that side of it?
Well, we did a lot of communication with the parents throughout the pandemic. Even before the season started, we were doing regular Zoom calls to update them on what we were being told by the state and how we felt it would be, or how we felt it would impact the season. We did check-ins with the players, even though, you know, teams were not set and we had not been able to have tryouts. And this goes back to the dedication of the coaches. We were still jumping on Zoom calls with the kids just to stay in touch with them, so they knew that even though hockey for the moment was off the table, that they certainly weren't anything that we were forgetting about. You know, I think I had some of the parents say that we were a calming presence during the pandemic, and being able to pivot the program back and forth between some gameplay, and then when that was taken away from us, we became an intense training program to limited gameplay. We were really, you know, my position through the pandemic was we had to stay solid. We had to stay committed to the overall mission. We were going to come out of this at some point. And my concern first was safety, and that we were doing everything we could to keep the players and the coaches safe. But second, just to make sure that I maintain stability in the business itself. I certainly recognize that there are going to be organizations that at the end of all of this had taken a big hit and then maybe dropped off the map completely. And sticking to our business model and having a plan, having multiple plans throughout the entire pandemic, I really think contributed to our strength and ultimately our survival.
If your growth is still going up, I mean, obviously people are recognizing the value there. So, I mean, kudos to you guys for keeping everything on a level head and on a level playing field there to make sure the growth continues. It's one of those things where when we talked in 2016, you know, you were saying there were very few programs in the New York area, the New York City area, the Long Island area, the New Jersey area that were offering, you know, a chance for kids to stick around and play hockey, especially, you know, moving on to the collegiate level and university level. And now there's been, you know, some landmark changes in the last 5 years that have certainly, you know, helped out and maybe changed the landscape a little bit. One of those would be obviously Long Island University, which started up and got a Division I men's and women's hockey program sort of running. How much of an impact has Long Island University had on your program? I mean, obviously kids go into those games and maybe checking them out. How much has that had on your program with the presence of NCAA hockey in the area?
Well, fortunately, LIU skates in our facility.
Right, yes.
So the players are directly exposed to those two teams.
Yeah.
I know that they've checked out women's games, and we've even used some of their coaches in the past for our developmental program.
Oh, right on.
And we're certainly interested in having their players as they graduate, if they stay in the area, come and work with our program. And so we're happy to provide coaching opportunity for them. And I just think that their presence has lent some or shed some light on Long Island hockey. You know, we have not been known for hockey in the past, especially women's hockey. And so now that we have a program right here in our backyard, once they draw in the spotlight, I think that lends others to start to look around and see, well, what locally is feeding this program, or what locally is benefiting from this program? And then we pop up as the girls' organization.
Have you, and again, I'm not saying that you have to, you know, obviously not graduate people directly into the program, but has there been any, you know, any chance? Have there been some, you know, some Long Island University scouts or people who've come up and said, we'd like to talk to a player or two? Has that happened yet?
I've definitely had conversations with the coaching staff over there, and I know that they've popped in and watched practices and games of ours. And I think as our program continues to develop and the strength of our players improve, I certainly hope that some of them move on to play there. I think it's probably going to happen sooner than later. And I think that we are on their radar as a possible source for recruiting. But, you know, I think it's important you know, that program obviously is looking to bring in players from all over.
Right. Yeah.
And we're looking, you know, for our players to go out and explore as many different types of schools and locations around the country as they want to, but it's nice to have this as an option. And I hope that LIU feels the same about our program, that we are always an option. We're a local option for them.
Landmark shift in Pittsburgh this past month, where Robert Morris University, a mid-sized school, a school that a lot of kids seem to enjoy going to, and certainly, I mean, the Colonials had a great hockey program. They decided to cancel their men's and women's hockey program, Division I hockey program. Being a former player and now someone who is sending players to, you know, schools like RMU, and certainly, you know, having players investigate schools like that when it comes time to graduating, what impact does the decision to end that hockey program have on your program when talking about opportunities, when talking about, you know, places for players to go play? Because that was one of those schools that sort of filled the gap between the really big schools and, you know, the ACHA.
Well, it's unfortunate that Robert Morris has ended their program. I don't know all the details, and I don't know that it's come out with any sort of certainty exactly why they made that decision. I've certainly seen on social media all of the petitions to try and save the program.
Right.
You know, there's been so much growth at the collegiate level, at Division One, at Division Three, at the club level, a lot more opportunities. So though it's unfortunate to see a program shut its doors, there is still plenty of opportunity out there. Whenever I see a program, whether it be college or youth program, cease to exist, it's you know, it's a little nerve-wracking, because especially at the youth level, you can see something that was strong and had multiple teams, and then in a very short time collapse. And you know, though it's unfortunate, I like to learn from that, and I like to know the details as to why something shut its doors or why a program no longer is continuing to field teams, because I think there's a lot to be learned from that. Not just from the standpoint of the players and the opportunity for the players, but also the business model. What was it about the program that wasn't working, or what was it that didn't make it worthwhile for the school or for the overall organization to continue with a girls program? And those are certainly, you know, things that I want to know and I want to avoid within our own program. Because the one thing I do think Robert Morris reminds us all of is it's still a pretty unstable environment for girls hockey. There's been tremendous progress, and it's definitely moving in that upward trajectory, but no one is immune to something like this happening. And so it increases everyone's appreciation, and hopefully it, when one program goes down, hopefully somebody else is inspired to start a new program. And Robert Morris was not the only program this year. We had two players, twins, that were supposed to be going off to Becker College, and not only did the Becker program go down, but the entire school shut down and went out of business. And so fortunately Worcester, which is right near Becker in Massachusetts, picked up the program and all of the players. So yes, sometimes these things happen, but hopefully it's the catalyst to more opportunity.
Well, I mean, we spend a lot of time on this program talking about Robert Morris, so I can fill you in on what we know and what we don't know at a future date here if you want. But it's not good. That's about as nicely as I can put it. So I don't want to dwell on that too much because we got more important stuff to talk about here. One of your players, and I'll mention her by name, Carly Sukiel. She's graduated from your program. She's going to go on to play college hockey, where she'll suit up for Oswego State University. I mean, obviously you're getting girls out of there, like you said, the twins going you know, up to Worcester. You got, you know, Sukiel who's gonna be going to Oswego State. I mean, obviously there's some noticing of the program now by at least some of the ACHA, if not some of the bigger programs, with Long Island University there. Are you, like, does it excite you to say, like, we trained her, we got her there?
And with this recent graduating class, you know, Carly was the class before going to play club for Oswego. And then she ended up coming back because of the pandemic and coaching with us. And now she's going back for the upcoming season. But we've even graduated a player on to Division One. We had Maria Orfandas a few years ago go on to play for Post University.
All the way.
And this past season, you know, one of the highlights of the season, when unfortunately there weren't many highlights, we had Christine Worms commit to Chatham University and play D3. And Chris's story, I think, really is the epitome of the program and our philosophy and what our goal was. She came in, she's a small player in stature. She came in that first year, which was probably first year 14U for her. And she wasn't particularly strong physically. She needed a lot of work with her skating and just general skill development. And so we made her a practice player at the start of the season. And she really bought into our training and bought into everything. And she was like a sponge to all of the coaches that were working with her, and great attitude and very tenacious in her play and in her training. And by the end of the season, Chris was scoring 2 goals in 1 game for us. And she worked her way into the lineup. She went on to be one of our top forwards for the upcoming seasons. And she became captain of the team. And then this past season at 19U, unfortunately, she had a bit of a step back because of the pandemic. And it looked like she might not be going anywhere for next season. Everything in her life and in her college pursuit had been disrupted. And she just didn't seem like the same player to me that I had always known. And when I checked in with her and found out that she really hadn't done much in her college search, it was an all hands on deck to get her noticed. And with her going to Chatham, and you know, now she's going to go on and play strong D3 hockey. To think that at one point she was just a practice player for us, I mean, that really captures why we did this program, why we continue to push and push for growth. And I know that Chris is going to have a successful college career, and hopefully she comes back like many others and becomes a coach for us.
Yeah, no, I mean, that'd be fantastic. So, I mean, we like to celebrate achievements and accolades on here. Let's celebrate yours. We know of 5 for sure. How many players have you graduated? How many players have gone on to play university or college hockey? Do you know off the top of your head?
I would say we have at least 10 right now.
Oh, nice.
From the program that are playing various levels, you know, whether it be strong, one of our seniors from this past year, Sarah Dunford, is going to go on and play Division I club for UMass Amherst. As I mentioned, we had Maria go off and play Division I.
Right.
Chris is playing D3. And we even have some players now in just the tail end of their junior year that most likely have already committed to D3 programs. And we're excited to kind of ink those contracts and be able to announce those players shortly.
I mean, we don't have a lot of reach down the Eastern Seaboard when it comes to our radio coverage. I mean, we're pretty much based in and only in Manitoba, which is okay. But I mean, again, this is something that obviously we're super excited to hear about and be proud of for you, and certainly, you know, hear about your success here. I think there's a lot of people out there that might be wondering, though, you know, how does this happen? If I'm looking at a school, how do I get in? So if girls or parents are interested, where do they go for info? More importantly, you know, how can they get in contact, and what's the cost to attend the New York Islanders girls elite hockey program?
Well, it depends on the level. It's a scaled tuition. Our top tuition past season, which was the 19U team, was just over $5,000 for the season.
Oh, okay.
Which included everything. And, you know, for us, our biggest challenge is essentially overhead. We're in a very expensive area. Our ice time costs are pretty high, and, you know, rightfully so. I mean, we're playing in an amazing facility.
Right, yeah.
But that is a challenge for all of the programs in the area, boys programs, girls programs. Ice time is expensive because we don't believe in parent coaching. That's just not part of our philosophy. We bring in professional coaches. So, of course, there has to be compensation there. And unfortunately for us, there isn't a lot of competition in the area. So our travel is extensive. Pre-COVID, we were at multiple tournaments, you know, across all, but we had 5 teams that year. We were as far out as St. Louis for some championship games, you know, and these tournaments cost quite a lot as well. So unfortunately, that is where the tuition comes from. I know that's not the case in other areas, but what we try and do is really show the value in that tuition. And we do that through all of our extracurricular activities, the sports psychology, the college advising, the top-notch training in the gym. And we recognize too that the product that we put out there has to be a reflection of that cost. And so we're constantly going back and examining how we're running our practices. Can we improve? Are we offering enough games throughout the season? What is that level of competition? Because we understand this is a big financial commitment for parents, but, you know, we hope and we obviously do believe through the success of the graduates that we've had that it is worthwhile, that it is going to get them that college opportunity that they might not have had if it were not for hockey on their resume.
I mean, you mentioned the cost and, you know, some of the tournaments and, you know, but I think you're right though, is that the secondary, I guess it's not secondary, it's kind of more primary, but certainly the stuff you guys do in-house, the sports psychology, the nutrition training, the college and academic advising, like that's the kind of stuff that I think, you know, pays off in the end. I mean, yes, it's an investment and nobody's going to lie about that. It's an investment in a hockey career. But I think you're right though, is that those other parts of it really pay off in the end, because I mean, you get, again, you get players. I mean, you already have 10 players going off to play, you know, university hockey. I mean, there's a good chance, it sounds like, that you guys are making a real good impact that way. So I don't know if it, and I mean, I'll be honest, there are hockey schools out there and hockey prep programs and stuff that cost 5-6 figures for some people. I mean, $5,000 is expensive for some people, but I don't think it's that bad when you're really talking about, you know, comparison to some of the other schools out there. I mean, to me, it sounds like you guys have priced yourself fairly competitively.
Well, we're, you know, we're not doing this to turn a profit.
No, but still.
And so we, you know, we cover our costs and we try and, you know, I try and keep that overhead down so the tuition stays stable at least a few seasons in a row. And
yeah,
the way we try and look at it is we hope that the return on the investment is worthwhile. Now, whether that be college placement or just the value hockey brings to anyone's life, it depends on you know, the way the player wants to take their career, but we know that through our graduates and some of the financial opportunities they've gotten because they were a recruited player for a college program, that financial piece more than makes up for the investment along the way. We know that many of the players are receiving financial aid that if they were not such a desired candidate would not have gotten through the school and their desire because of hockey.
I mean, let's not forget the most important part then. I mean, how do people find out about the program? Where can they go to read about the program or learn a little bit more about what you guys offer?
We have a page on the Northwell Health Ice Center page. So the web address is northwellhealthicecenter.com. Certainly people can contact me directly. My email is alexis.moed@newyorkislanders.com. And we have social media presence, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And we're always looking to, you know, market the program to outside the area, outside the East Coast. And hopefully through our players going on and playing in college, someone will be flipping through a college media guide and see that someone on the roster is from the Islanders Elite.
If you're looking for any of those, the social media stuff, I know for certain, because I follow them on Twitter, is @Islanders_elite for the Islanders Girls Elite Program on Twitter. So if you're looking for that information, that's the best place to go and certainly get some information quickly that way. I got to ask, I mean, obviously looking back 5 years, I mean, again, lots of stuff have changed. You guys have grown. You guys have certainly succeeded in running this business and creating this great opportunity for girls. Tough question for you. I mean, I know you've probably sat down and modeled a little bit about this, excuse me, but what do the next 5 years look like? What are you hoping to do when we get to 2026 and you look back and go, we had all these check boxes and we got them all?
I think I'd still like to see growth, multiple teams at each age level. It's certainly nice that in the upcoming season, it's 2 12U teams and 2 14U teams, but I would like to see that extend throughout 16 and 19U as well. I'd like to see the base grow. I'd like to see 100 girls in the developmental program in addition to 100 girls throughout the rest of the teams, because by having that base be so large, it ensures the success of the program for at least another 5, 10+ years. And I think it's an indication that girls hockey itself is growing on Long Island. When you have a developmental program as we do that has say 20 little girls in it, and then you're able to grow that to 100, you know that you're now bringing the sport to an athlete that otherwise would have chosen soccer, lacrosse, basketball, what have you. So it's growing the game as well. And I'd like to see continued college opportunity, and I'd like to see our players progress to the point that even though they're doing a great job right now, and I think that they're going on to some very strong programs, I would like to see us move players to the Division I level.
I mean, I've read the testimonials. I mean, certainly you guys can put up the ones that you think are the best. I mean, there was one parent who said that he, you know, he basically keeps his daughter in the program and he travels 2.5 hours to make sure that she's getting to the rink. How far away are we talking about now? Because I mean, when you originally were looking at this, you were looking at Long Island, maybe New Jersey and part of New York City, maybe, you know, reaching a little bit further into the city. How big are we talking about your pull in terms of the area and where girls are coming from?
I'd say we're still fairly local in that, you know, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, New Jersey pull.
Okay.
It's difficult to get on and off the island. It takes a lot longer than it should. So I think that attributes to the long drive time for a lot of players, but we're also seeing a lot of players come from further east. We were focused really just on our county. Now we're seeing players come from an hour and a half east of the program, traveling down the island to get to us. And even recently, I've been contacted by players from Albany and Plattsburgh inquiring if we have a billet program, which is something that I think would be great for the next 5 years to maybe develop a billet program so players outside of the New York area can come and participate.
At the end of the day, it sounds like you got this all sort of the market cornered, I'll say. I mean, this sounds like it's fantastic. So number one, Alexis, congratulations on a great program. Because I don't think, again, I don't know anybody who's had the kind of growth that you've had in the last 5 years for sure. But secondly, congratulations on getting all these girls to not only get into hockey, but to stay in hockey and follow it right through to the university level. I think that's huge, especially when you're talking about the growth of the program. You guys are one of those reasons why the programs in the States and across the world are growing right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, looking back over the last 5 years, the fact that players have not dropped out at that critical age group, which is really 14U and 16U, where a lot of girls have to make a decision whether or not hockey's worth it for them. It's a tough age, and I know that there is drop-off, particularly in this area, there is drop-off in those two team years. We even had a player, she's on our 16U team now, Adriana Tuminello, who had played and then quit right around that, you know, 12, 13-year-old time frame, and she was out in the clinic on one of our ranks, and I just walked in, and I said, well, you know, why did you stop? Why aren't you playing anymore? You need to get back into it. And now she's one of our top defensemen on our 16 team. I know she's locked in. I know she's, I just asked her the other day, you're a junior. What are you doing? Well, I'm looking at this school, that school, and I want to do this academically. So I need to find a school that has the hockey and this academic program. So she's locked in. She's ready to go. And to think that if, you know, if we had just let things be, she would have stopped playing hockey at 12, 13 years old, and now she's gearing up to play, you know, NCAA hockey.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's important too, that even though we recognize building the base and introducing hockey to younger girls, to not forget about that critical age range where oftentimes, for whatever reason, they don't feel hockey has value in their life anymore. For this program to show them that it does and have our graduates also show them the value that it has, I think that's very important for us to focus on in the years to come.
I'm going to say, like I said, you guys are doing a bang-up job out there and certainly keep doing that for sure. We're almost out of time here, though, but I do want to ask you, do you want a few softball, a few fun questions to sort of sure. finish us off, have a laugh, and get out of the business idea here? Okay, I got a couple of fun ones. So, I mean, this is, you can laugh, you can decline to answer them if you want. It's up to you, whatever you want to do. But I got to ask you first off, because there was a big change this year. Which name do you prefer, the Bridgeport Sound Tigers or the Bridgeport Islanders?
I have to look at it from a business perspective.
Okay.
I like Bridgeport Islanders because of the continuity and the marketing, streamlining it with the New York Islanders. But I know that the general feeling from what I've heard on the island is that everyone liked the Bridgeport Sound Tigers better.
I mean, I won't lie. I like the sound. I like the idea that it was tied into the community. I mean, I get your idea, your side of it as well. The business side makes sense. Like, I can't deny that, but I just like minor league teams that have these fun names. So I'm okay with that. I know that you guys wear the Islanders logo when you're playing a little bit. So a couple of sort of a two-sided question here. One, would you like to see the Islanders fisherman jersey come back as an alternate jersey for the Islanders? And two, would you like them for the girls with a female fisherman logo or female fisher person for a logo?
I think it coming back would be a great marketing idea for the Islanders, because I know from a merchandise standpoint that Fisherman logo does very well. I grew up when that Fisherman logo was introduced, and at the time that it came out, I don't think it was particularly well received. So I'm going to say, no, the girls will not be wearing the Fisherman logo. They're probably going to hear this and be upset, because they all do walk around with Fisherman backpacks and any Fisherman items they can buy from the pro shop. And I think a few of them probably have mentioned it to me, but I will say definitively they will not be wearing the Fisherman.
Oh, Alexis, you're sitting on a gold mine there. Come on. I have a jersey and I love it. And everybody that sees it now, oh my God, like, where did you get that? Whereas when I had it when I was, younger, it was like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. So I totally get what you're
coming. It's retro now, but
right, exactly. Retro cool, as they say. Were you a fan? Are you a fan of, and I'm not gonna lie, I didn't see much of a difference between their regular uniform and the reverse retro. Are you a fan of the reverse retros that the NHL brought out?
I didn't really see a lot of a big difference between the retro Islander jersey. It's nice to see, because I do remember that jersey.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a clean, crisp look, but not a dramatic change from the regular jersey. So I'm fine with either one. I guess I'll put it that way.
That's okay. Series against Tampa Bay. Do they beat Tampa this year?
I hope so. I think that they can get past Tampa. They just seem to be that team that hangs around, as everybody says, and they're on a roll right now, and hopefully it continues when they carry that momentum into Tampa.
Got to ask you sort of last question here, and this is one that you can reflect on and certainly, maybe give some good advice here. Having played Division I hockey, having gone through and sort of faced the everyday sort of challenge of being an elite athlete, what advice can you give girls who are growing up now who are looking at, university hockey as an opportunity? What advice would you give them in terms of being prepared and being ready to play university hockey?
I would say just, you have to make sure it's the right fit. It is going to be your home for 4 years, whether it's playing Division I or Division III or club, it's a commitment. And recognizing the level of commitment that it's going to be and whether or not that suits your lifestyle. I think it's very easy to be attracted by the glamour of being a Division I hockey player, and you certainly see all of the benefits of it. You see the impressiveness of Division I. But what we try and, not to diminish playing Division I hockey at all, but there is that other side to it. There is the work that has to go into it and the total commitment. And if you're looking for more of a college experience where you can maybe study abroad or play multiple sports or have more of a social life outside of hockey, maybe Division I isn't the best pick for you. Maybe you'd be better suited at Division III or a club program. And so we try and keep the players grounded that way and just give them that understanding that there is a difference between the levels. And I think that helps that we have coaches that have played at all different levels. We have, the Division III and the club coaches as well. Yeah. So we can provide that comparison for the players and they can see that, maybe they're looking for a different experience than what they think they're looking for, and that they're going to school first and foremost for academics and for an experience, and hockey needs to fit into that rather than them fitting into hockey necessarily, because it is a long road. It is tough 4 years at that level, and it's certainly an everyday grind, and it's not necessarily for everyone, and it's okay. It's okay if it's not for you. There's no shame in admitting that, maybe you're looking for something different out of your college experience.
That is fantastic advice. And I think it's one that, everybody should take to heart, because you're right. It is a big commitment. So Alexis, we're basically out of time. I want to thank you for giving us an hour of your time tonight. Obviously wish you nothing but success and continued growth and, all sorts of good stuff coming out of the New York Islanders girls elite hockey program. You guys are pretty much the be all and end all for hockey out in New York City, hockey out on Long Island. And I mean, I'm hopeful that not only are we going to get a chance to talk again, but we're going to talk and you guys are running schools all over the country soon. So congratulations on everything. And thanks for doing this tonight.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for checking in.
So there is Alexis Moed, the lead instructor and the brains behind the New York Islanders girls elite hockey program out on Long Island. Glad to get caught up with her. There's a great story there, obviously, in the growth of the game out in New York City and keeping girls in and around that area to play hockey. And now with the growth of, Long Island University and some of the other universities in the area. A great opportunity for her to start putting a lot of good players into hockey programs out in New York State. We're going to keep in touch with Alexis and make sure that we get some follow-up updates and certainly check in with the growth of the program as it moves along here. But I'm glad that we got a chance to talk to her again. If you need any information on that, everything is linked on Hockey Blog in Canada. Again, if you're looking on Twitter, it's @Islanders_Elite for their Twitter handle. And, I mean, there's a ton of stuff that you can go and read about. Certainly get in contact with her if you have any questions or you want to have an interest in maybe investing in or helping or, you know, contributing to the success of the program with a little financial help. In any case, this is one of the great stories that we've been able to cover here on the Hockey Show, and I'm glad that we have a friend in Alexis, and certainly I hope we'll have a lot more to update coming up in the near future as she grows that program into something great. A couple of quick notes before we get out of here. I want to announce that obviously there were some changes this week. The MJHL, the Neepawa franchise, is now called the Titans. They have changed their name. They got a great new logo, great new new jersey. Gotta say, I am a fan of what they've done out in Neepawa, so congratulations to the MJHL team out there, as they look fantastic. The ECHL's Trois-Rivières team, we are waiting on an announcement from them about their name. They announced it today. They are going to be Les Lions, and they have a fantastic logo as well. I suggest going and looking up the Trois-Rivières Lions, because they have a fantastic logo that really, really is classy and really sort of works in some of the Quebec imagery. So a couple of big announcements there, obviously, and seeing how NHL playoffs are still going. Obviously, the Islanders advancing last night, getting a chance to play Tampa Bay now, and still waiting on, and we may find a winner tonight as Vegas and Colorado last series going, Montreal awaiting the winner there. So lots more to come on the Hockey Show coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll have lots more to cover on that side of things, but we're going to get out of here a little earlier today. I am going to leave everybody with a bit of a longer song to exit with today. Reason being is this is the new song, one of the new songs from the Black Keys. Came out about 3 weeks ago. It's called Stay All Night. Fantastic song. I think it's a really good lead in here for Free Range Radio with Skippy. Plays this kind of music, plays a lot of, you know, similar style music that the Black Keys are working on now. So I'm going to leave you with that. So this is the Black Keys and Stay All Night. With that, folks, keep the radio tuned here to 101.5 UMFM for Skippy and Free Range Radio, which comes up next here on the frequency. With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Thanks for tuning into the Hockey Show. Keep it locked right here on 101.5 UMFM. Listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Game on!
Game on!